What? You go to church and you don't have worship? We're going to break the mold a little bit today. Kids are going to go straight into kids' church, and then we're going to open in prayer. There's one announcement. We're going to get into the preach and see what God does. So we're going to focus on God's word tonight and try and make that our focus. So who wants to pray for us? I know someone's feeling it. I know someone's... No. Anyone else? Oh, Robbie, no. Where's... No, he's like, Dad, don't. This is awkward. This is when you're like, why is everyone looking down? Steve, you haven't prayed for a long time. Belinda, he sends Belinda. Check it out. Awkward. Do you want to use that? Open a prayer for us. That's awesome. I don't know. You go for it. Let's see what... How long do we have?
Oh, thank you, Father, that you are with us and... Sure, you have such a destiny and a plan for us tonight, and that plan is to lift you high. That plan is to glorify you tonight. And I pray, God, that as we sit, that we would position our hearts, our ears, just who we are. We would position it at your feet to hear what you have to say to us, to make the adjustments where we need to, and to know that we are loved by you. And because we are loved by you, that we give our lives to you. We give our lives for you. And we thank you, God, for Brett. Pray that you would anoint him, that you would just put a guard over his mouth so that he speaks only what you have to say to us tonight. Be glorified here. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amazing. And so most of us came back after last week, so we're all right. it's made a lot of work. I'm probably not going to preach like that for a long time. But it's been amazing just to see what God is doing, the stories that have come out of it, just the way that sometimes we just need to look at our own hearts. And so I want to just carry on with what we feel like the Lord is saying to us. So just to recap quick, a few weeks ago, spoke about we all on the same playing field. None of us seek after God. Romans 3, all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. There's nobody that is above everyone else. Even if you're a pastor in the church or a leader, we all just needy. We need Jesus. We need his grace. We need his love, mercy. And then I remind you that I used some bad language to one of the congregation members, and Mike and I almost had a fisticuff, which was awesome. And just normal guys, normal girls, loving Jesus, trying to do the best we can, and be used by him. Week after that, I started looking at temptation. Remember the three pictures of temptation: temptation in the Garden of Eden, temptation with the Israelites in the desert. And then I touched on Jesus' temptation, and that's what we're going to focus on tonight, and what's happening there, and how he overcame it, and all of that kind of stuff. But then last week, I was supposed to preach this week's message, and then in worship, God just shifted everything, and I just gave that heart, all or nothing thing. Are you in or are you out? And there's the door. If you don't want to come to this church, you're welcome to leave. Shame. Some people read that as we're going to kick people out of church. That's not our heart. Okay. So we love everybody. I just never want anyone to get to heaven one day. And Jesus says, I never knew you. And the danger with that kind of preach is those people who really love Jesus are going to be going, oh my goodness, I can't do this. And they probably more harder on themselves than they need to be. And then condemnation can come in. And so this last week, been meeting with loads and loads of people, just working that through, making sure that we are saved, that we're in grace, that God's love is with us, and there's nothing we can do to have his salvation, but there is fruit that needs to be seen in our lives. And so tonight we're going to look at Jesus, what happened in the desert, how he overcame, and hopefully we can apply that to our lives today. But before I do that, Allison is here for the first time in a long time, and she's sitting at the back. Nice to have you, Allison. And she has a companion. Just so you know, this isn't a free-for-all pets. Bring your pets to church, okay? And I know what you're thinking. You'll bring your 17 cats, and then we've got issues, you know? And so that is a special trained medical dog. I don't know what you call it. Is there a name for a medical companion dog? And so well-trained, a guide, not a guide dog, Allison can see, but it could be. And just so you're wondering, Allison, lucky to have you, and God's been doing some cool stuff in her as well. And so, awesome. Hi. And the Byatts, are they here? Ah, happy baby time. Yay. Hey, baby Jordan. Is she sleeping? Yeah, not going to Mufasa. No Mufasa-ing today. Okay, she's taking him out. So Oh, so cute. Shame. Are we disturbing her a little bit? So we just want to show baby Jordan, which is so cute. It's like a week old. Oh, Bubba. The newest. Oh, Jordan. Woo! And she's like, I love it. And so, and just for you guys that are visiting and even some of the members, fellowship is part of our DNA. It's part of what we love. It's part of the Bible. And so just letting the meeting go a little bit this evening isn't because we were running late on purpose. It was that we were fellowshipping, drinking coffee, catching up, loving on each other, just so you know. Okay, so it was a deliberate thing. Anyways, so let's go and let's read together. Sorry, let me just get this in quickly. Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Let's read it together. If you don't have a Bible, it should come up there, I'm hoping. Matthew 4, 1 to 11, and then we'll just work through this thing tonight, and we'll see how things go. Okay, are we up there? I might as well just read off there. I could do that as well. Cool. So, Matthew 4, 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And so, just to give you context, Jesus' ministry had just kind of started a moment before this. We don't know much about his life growing up as a child. We know that he was growing in stature towards men and God. There was something of a wisdom on him. In the temple, the people they're like, yo, this kid knows stuff. He's baptized by John the Baptist just before this. And it's an amazing story. He gets baptized and he comes out of the water and there's this voice from heaven and the Holy Spirit comes on him like a dove. And he's filled with the Spirit and his ministry starts in a sense. This is the start of his ministry. And so just after that, it says, then Jesus was led into the Spirit, into the world. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, which is interesting. And so that might blow some of our theology. It's like, why has Jesus been led by the Spirit to be tempted in the desert? It's an interesting concept. And so if it's true for Jesus, it's possibly true for us as well. Sometimes the Lord takes us into desert places so that we can be tested or tempted. It's the same word. You can use them interchangeably. Okay, mind's blown. First words. And so if you're in a desert place, please do not give up. If you're finding it hard right now, you're plowing hard ground, don't give up. There's something that the Lord wants to teach you in that place. Okay, and so it might feel desert-like. It might feel it's lacking. It might feel lonely. It might feel painful. But in the midst of that, I believe that the Lord wants to do stuff. Anyways, verse 2. Okay. Can you put more than one verse at a time on or not? Okay, let's just go. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, which makes sense. And the tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for as it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him. So there's some interesting things that we can get out of this piece of scripture. So he's led by the Spirit into the desert, right? And one thing that we need to realize that's happening here is, you need to understand this, that the devil never, how do I put this? The devil never questioned the sonship of God, of Jesus. He knew Jesus. He knew he was the Son of God. He never questioned that. What he was trying to do here, he was trying to see what kind of son he was, which is interesting. And so he knew that he was the Son of God. He knew he would be the Redeemer. He knew he would come and take the sins of the world upon himself. He knew he would rise up and be the Son of God and do what he did. But like I said in the first preach that I preached on temptation or falling into temptation is trying to take a shortcut from the plan and the purposes that God has put forward for us. And so in these moments and in these instances, the devil comes and he says, I know you're the Son of God, but I want to see what kind of Son of God are you? Are you going to do it your own way and take the shortcut? Or are you going to do it God's way even though it's hard? And so you see these three temptations coming, and the Bible teaches us that Jesus was tempted in every way, just like we have been. And so it's crazy. It's like, the thing for us today is this, that we are also the sons and the daughters of God, right? And the devil knows you probably better than you know yourself, right? And he's been living for centuries and millennia, and his whole aim, he's like a hungry lion looking for someone to devour. He's looking for flesh in us to eat from us, right? And so he's, in a sense, doing the same thing when we are led into the desert, when there's hardships, when there's temptations, when there's tests that come. He's trying to see what kind of son or what kind of daughter are you going to be in the Lord. It's crazy. And so if you keep on taking shortcuts all the time, you're just showing him that you're the son or the daughter that wants to take a shortcut, that doesn't want to live God's way. And unfortunately, most of the time, God's way is a hard way. God's way goes against the crowd. It goes against the fads of the day. It goes against what the politicians want to hold to, because Jesus' kingdom is upside down. His kingdom is not of this world. You guys are very quiet now. And so when these tests come, it's like, hey, Brett, I want to see if your heart is for me. I want to see if you seek my kingdom first. Think about the upside down kingdom. If you want to be rich, what does Jesus say we need to do? Give away everything. What? The world says hoard, keep, don't share, don't be generous. That's what the world's saying. Jesus said, no, really. If you want to be rich, give away. What? What does the world say when it comes to loving those who hurt you or loving those who try to take your life? Take revenge. Get them back. What does Jesus say? Hey, if you want a true love is, turn the other cheek. What? Not only that, feed them and give them water. What? It's like, poof. It's a crazy thought. So you need to understand the kingdom that Jesus is building is not the kingdom that we're living in. The problem is we just kind of see the kingdom, the earthly kingdom all the time, and we're trying to usher in the new kingdom. And that's where it gets tricky. And that's why Jesus needs us to be sons and daughters for him and for him alone. Are you guys following me? So let's look at the temptation number one. And it's funny, like, before we get there, we went to the Lion Farm Park thing on the N1 here, going out, Dragonstein, whatever it's called, Lion Park the other day with the kids. The last time we went, Wesley was a chukaki. He was like, now if you stand, he's like as tall as me, you know. He was like a little baby guy. And I heard this theory. I know this is a bad father, but I heard that lions can suss out kind of who the weakest person in the group is. And then they'll go for that one, you know. And so I was a little naughty. I was like, hey, where's run? And he's like running. And the next thing, we don't see this lioness. You know, she was, next thing, she's on that fence, like, you know, the teeth and stuff like that. I was like, oh, it's true. It's like a shame. And then this time, he was tall now. I mean, he was taller than me. So now I'm like, Bethany, run the other day. And I know it's terrible. I'm probably going to get flack for this. But I was like, it was so crazy. I know, sorry. Peter's like, I'm going to message you later, bro. Let's talk about your parenting skills, you know. But the funny part about that is that the devil does exactly the same. I know what he's doing right now. He's looking across us. And he's looking for the flesh. He's looking for the weak points in our hearts, in our minds, in our soul, in our theology even. And he's looking, he's going, I don't like what Brett's saying here because I'm being exposed. You know, like, I don't like this. And he's looking. And he's going to go for that. I want to just ask you and plead with you that as I'm preaching, as God's working, it's not about me preaching, it's about God's working. Whatever the truth is, hold on to that tonight. wherever you are in your life, let God take control of that thing rather than the devil eating the flesh. Don't be like the Wesley or the Bethany running, you know. And so Matthew 4, verses 3, first temptation is, the tempter comes to him and says, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And this is what I said in the first preach. It's an appeal of physical appetite. There's three temptations we see through the history of the Bible. And the first is this, the appeal for physical appetite. So it's funny. So Jesus has fasted and prayed for 40 days. When does the devil come? On the 40th day. He could have come on day one or day five or day six when he knew that Jesus wasn't as hungry as he could have been. But no, he waits and he waits and he waits. And Jesus is praying and he's alone. And the Bible says that the wild animals are trying to kill him and he's all alone. He's just, you remember that preach? In the garden, there was perfection. There was a fullness of God there. When it was Jesus, it was him and him alone. Hungry, tired, probably delusional. It's crazy. Probably close to death, even maybe. And then the devil comes in. And I need to say that to us, guys. Fits in with the lion story. It's when you're at your last, the devil's going to try to kick you when you're down. And he comes and he says, if you're hungry, man, you're hungry. 40 days, come on, without eating. Jesus, just turn these stones into bread. There's nothing wrong with bread. It actually really sustains us. There's nothing wrong with food. In itself, bread isn't a sin to eat, right? But because Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit of God to be tested in every way, to fast and to pray. In that moment, if he had turned that stone into bread, he would have been sinning against the Lord. And the enemy is so clever. He takes something that's good, something that's given from God, something that's used to sustain us, and he just twists it slightly. And it's so subtle some of the time that we miss it, even as sons and daughters in the house. Does it make sense? And so he says, surely, come on, surely. And in that moment, if Jesus had done that, he would have been taking the shortcut. He would have gone against the Spirit of God. And something that was for the good, and we see bread come throughout the history of the Bible, through manna, and coming from heaven, and the bread of life. And Jesus actually is the bread of life. And he says to many people, come, if you eat from me, if you drink from me, you'll never hunger, never thirst again. There's something of what God's doing in his life, you know. And so for us, here, the lesson is this. The devil takes things that are good, takes things that in themselves have been given by God, but it's always a little slant when it comes to the temptation from the evil one. And in that moment, just that perversion, just that, you know, for the young ones amongst us, sex is created to be enjoyed in marriage. Husband and wife, it's an awesome thing. It's something that's very exciting to have, and it's lekker. But outside of marriage, you just step one step over, it's a sin. It's something that will be destructive to your own body. It will mess up hearts and minds. There'll be a tearing of flesh one to another because you become one flesh. And so this, and then the world sells it. No, just sleep with as many people as you want. Test drive. Who wants to buy, test drive. I mean, who wants to buy a second-hand car anyways? It doesn't make any sense. I want a new one. You know what I'm saying? And so the devil takes something that's beautiful and awesome and just a little bit, thanks, Raymond. He's loving you. I love you. And just, you know, and people fall into it, and then their lives get wrecked. You know what I'm saying? You guys following me? I'm very quiet tonight. Anyways, John Piper, one of my favorite quotes, I'm going to quote it again. He goes, until we get this, he says this, if we do not feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because we have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It's because we have nibbled so long on the table of the world, our souls are stuffed with the small things, and there's no room for the great. I said, do that again because that was a really cool quote. Let me do it again because I really love this quote. If you do not feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, if you come tonight just, it's another Sunday. Brett's going to preach again. I hope it's not as bad as last week. I know it was bad last week. It was good but bad. You know what I'm saying? But I'm here because I want to see the manifestation of the glory of God in every one of our hearts. If the word of God takes root and does something, you know, if we don't have that, if we don't wake up and there's something of, I need to spend time with Jesus today, something wrong. It is not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It's because you have nibbled so long on the table of the world. In other words, the devil's come and he's just twisting and twisting and be falling into that thing all the time, twisting and twisting and falling and twisting. Where's my finger? That our souls are stuffed with the small things and there's no room for the great. And the greatest thing that our souls can be satisfied with is Jesus. The word of life. The water of life. That our souls will never thirst, never hunger again. Where we take the counterfeit stuff. We take the shortcut so often. But I want to just say, Jesus didn't. And that gives me hope. We'll end with hope, okay? So just, we'll get there. Temptation 2. Actually going much quicker than I thought. Is Matthew 4, verses 6. And he says, I want to just read it again. If you are the Son of God. Again, you see, he's not doubting that Jesus is the Son of God. He's testing him. What kind of son are you going to be? I know you're the Son of God. What son are you going to be? You guys, and he says, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and he will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. And the second appeal is not, first is the appeal for physical appetite. The second one is the appeal for personal gain. And so basically what he's saying here to Jesus is, hey, you're going to gain something from this, right? Just do it. Throw yourself off. The angels are going to get you. The angels are going to save you. See, the devil is trying to tempt Jesus in proving God's love and protection on him. You're like, what? Jesus, God doesn't have to prove himself to us. You realize that, hey? Might go against your theology, but that's cool. I'm just going to say it again. God doesn't have to prove himself to you. He's already done that in multiple ways. There's a thing called special revelation or specific revelation and general revelation. General revelation states, biblically and theologically, that God, because of his awesomeness, his greatness, we can see him in everything. We can see him in creation. We can see him in each other. There's something, I'm not saying God is, I'm just saying he's revealed himself. He's created everything we know. And in that, everybody, even if you're an atheist, knows that there's something bigger than you out there. It's not by chance that an explosion happened and we have intelligent life like we have. There's no planet in this solar system that we found up till now, and I don't think we will find it because God specifically put Earth here for a reason. There's no life on any other planet because that's God's design. And that's general revelation, but then there's specific revelation. When you and I get to the place where we bow our knee before Jesus and we go, gee, I can't save myself. I can't have this love. I can't find this grace. I need something, someone. And his name is Jesus. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit comes in, does a salvation work in us. Our eyes are opened. The Bible starts popping. Worship starts getting excited. Prayer is amazing. You start speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. Start using your gifts, your talents. That's God working in us. That's an amazing thing. And so God doesn't have to prove himself to us. He doesn't have to prove his love to us, really, because he's already proved his love on the cross. When Jesus hung, when he was buried, and when he rose again, that's God's proof for us. And I want to just say, what are you saying? The guys came to Jesus in the New Testament, and they said, show us a sign. Give us a sign. Prove to yourself, prove to us that you're the Son of God. And he says, there will be no sign given except for the sign of Jonah. You evil and adulterous generation. Shush, that's a little bit like, nah. And so what you're saying is, Jonah is a picture of Jesus. It's a story that parallels Jesus. Jonah was swallowed up, dead for 3 days, was resurrected on the beach again. It's a picture. It's a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do. And he said, listen, no sign will be given. I don't have to prove myself to you guys. It's already done. And so often, we go, God, prove yourself to me. I don't know. I think we're on a... He's already done that. Look, I'm not negating those stories like Gideon with the fleece and the thing and good on him. You know what I mean? Like, brave man. It's happened and God was gracious to them. But come on, guys. Jesus loves us, man. His grace is on us. We wouldn't have this if it wasn't for him. He doesn't have to prove himself to us. We actually need to maybe prove ourselves to him. With the fruit that is in our lives because of what he's done. that zealousness, that hunger that I was trying to speak about last week. Jesus, I'm here. I want to flourish because of what you've done. But yeah, you would come, God, just, how am I getting onto this point? Anyway, so I'm getting with my point, but you know what I'm saying? And so another thing that you need to understand about the devil, he knows the word of God probably better than you do. And you say, what? Let me prove it to you. So the quote the devil uses there, he said, for it is written. So he's using scripture against Jesus. He will command his angels continue. That's actually taken from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Dude, you're working hard today. Kevs, thanks, bud. You know, so this is what Psalm 91, verses 11 to 12 says. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up and their hands will in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. What is the difference? The devil leaves out three little words, or four little words, in all your ways. So the devil leaves out, in all your ways. And so again, he takes something that's good, God's word, and he just takes a little bit out, perverts it slightly. And Jesus knew the scripture, because he is a scripture. And he said, no, you're wrong. You're actually lying to me. That's not what the word of God says. And that's how false teaching creeps into the church. They just leave out one or two little things here or there, and it seems right. Seems like they're telling the truth. Before you know it, you're so far from God's word, you're like, well, how did I get here? The devil's doing that to Jesus. It's crazy. He knows the scriptures. That's why we need to know the scriptures even more than them. And so just by taking out those four words, it takes the context out. It takes the meaning of that scripture out. And the meaning of the scripture is this. Verse 11 and 12 speaks of protection against accidental stumbling, not deliberate suicide or self-harm. And so what the devil was, by taking out in all your ways, you're saying, commit suicide, jump, test God like this. That wasn't talking about this. If you stumble by mistake, God will pick you up. Not deliberate. And because, yeah, the devil is so sneaky. Because as people, we want to gain stuff, right? That's the temptation, personal gain. You might even come to this church. I'll be honest with you. What can I get out of Brett? What can I get out of this church? What can they give me? What can I get out of God? If I come to God, will my marriage get better? Or will I get healed from whatever sickness? Guys, if you're coming to church for that, I think you're missing the gospel. I'm not saying God can't give you that, because I've seen him do amazing things through the years that I've been walking with him. But our position of our heart should be, actually, God, you've done so much for me. I want to come and just lay my life down and die for you. I don't want to test you. I don't want to do anything deliberately to go against what you want for me. I don't want to take that shortcut. And you see Jesus doing that so well. He just holds his own. It's amazing. So cool. Temptation 3. We're almost done, guys. And we'll get into some prayer one to another. Temptation 3 is Matthew 4, verses 8 to 9. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain. Okay, so can I ask this question? This is a theory. It's not my theology. Okay, so let me... Do you think the devil actually took Jesus physically to these places, or do you think this might have been in Jesus' mind and heart? It's a good question. The reason why I ask that question is when I've experienced temptation in my life, I haven't been teleported to different places in the world. It would be cool, though. You wouldn't have to sit on those flipping airplanes for like 18 hours going to Brazil. I'll just flip there. Passport. Hello. Because I know what people do in their minds. They're like, hey, Jesus was a different person. He was the Son of God, and he was, but he was also fully man. And so if we mystify this a little bit, no, he was physically taken, doesn't apply to me. A lot of what the devil's trying to trip me up is in my heart, in my mind, and possibly it's the same with Jesus, or he could have been taken. We don't know, but I'm just going to throw that there for you to kind of chew on. Again, the devil takes him to a very high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and in their splendor. And he says to this, all this I will give you. It's interesting that. Why? Who's given him authority to give him all the nations of the world? Well, he is the prince of this world. It's interesting. And he said, if you bow down and worship me. See, the last temptation that we see, so it's physical appetite, personal gain. The last one we see throughout the Bible is the appeal for power or glory. See, the only one that should be glorified in anything is God himself. The only one that should have power over our lives, our minds, our hearts is God. Not us, not people, not us one to another. And even if you're looking at the U.S. elections right now, you can see the power struggles. You can see the corruption. I mean, I was actually quite encouraged because I thought first world country, they got it all together. They do not have it all together. They actually look like they're worse than the third world countries like ours. But where there's power, I mean, they say absolute power corrupts absolutely. You're seeing that. And so you see the devil come. And this is, it's quite an interesting dilemma because Jesus knows that he will put the devil under, well, he'll put everything under his feet. I mean, he knows that he's going to stand on the devil's head one day. He knows that serpent's going to get crushed. He's going to get kicked in his, I'm not allowed to say bad words tonight. I'm trying to be good. But he knows that the devil doesn't believe that he's going to be risen again. He knows he's going to hell and taking those keys of death and he's going to hold those things and he's going to be victorious. He knows that. But he has to just hold on. It's almost like the devil's taunting him. Like, come on, prove yourself. Just bow down. Just, I will give you the power and the glory. And for some of us, yeah, power and glory has got such a lure in our lives. We want to be bigger or greater or more richer or what? I don't know. That's not a good usage of words. But there's something about, we want to be powerful. Guys, the only one that should be powerful in our lives is Jesus. And us humbling ourselves before him, you know. This is making sense. It feels like I'm rambling. Anyways. So I just want to, so you see meekness in Jesus in this moment. The reason why I say that is I want to just take you to Matthew 26:53, just to kind of paint a picture for you. It says this. So this is just as he's cut the servant's ear off in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that. He's about to be arrested. Peter, I think it was, if I can remember correctly, I should have actually refreshed. Takes out his sword, which I think is quite cool. Chops his ear off. Abby doesn't think it's that cool, but I thought that's pretty swift. And then he says to him, hey, am I leading a rebellion here? Come on, guys. Come on, Peter. Put your sword away. You're missing it. He says this. Do you not think, I've abbreviated here, that at my disposal, I have more than 12 legions of angels that I could call upon. Okay, so let me give you some statistics here for those number crunchers. A legion in biblical time was 6,826 men. A legion would comprise of 6,100 men and 726 horsemen. Okay, and Jesus said, I have 12 legions. So you take 6,000, where's my numbers? 826 men times it by 12, which is 81,912 angels. So get this. I've seen in the Bible that one angel, like a Gabriel, comes and he takes out a whole flipping city by himself. Imagine 81,000 angels just that they're all waiting. Jesus, just let us go. We want to do our kung fu or whatever they do. I don't know. It's like, you shall not pass. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what they do. And he's going, guys, I have all the power under my Father, but right now I'm not going to fall into the trap, your trap. That's encouraging. And Jesus didn't want to take power and glory for himself. He's just the doorway to the Father. And you see that in his death and resurrection. You see that in the way he was born. You see that in the way he was brought up. Okay, so let's relate this to us. How much more if Jesus came to be, not to be served, but to serve, to become the servant of all, to give his life for us, how much more should we submit ourselves unto him and serve one another and serve him? Because the greatest two commandments that Jesus was trying to be trapped by the Pharisees and Sadducees, They said, well, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, bow your knee to him and love him. And the second greatest is love one another. And then he says, on this, the whole law and prophets hinge or hang. And so what he's saying is, literally, Old Testament biblical theology, everything hinges on loving God, submitting yourself to him, and loving one another. That's kefe. Then, just want to remind us as well, the spirit that was living in Jesus, those angels that he had at his command, in a sense, because we are born again, spirit-filled believers, we have the same power. We have the same ability. It's crazy. But do we want to take power for ourselves? Or do we allow God to do it? Abby was actually challenging me about some of the movies I watch. I'm not the best. I don't have the best track record when it comes to movies. I quite like them violent. And she really challenged me. She was like, hey, all those movies that you're watching about revenge, it really goes against everything Jesus says. I was like, ah, you're right. Because you think about it, it's like Taken. I love that movie. But it's just really revengeful. You know, it's like this guy taking power for himself, glory for himself, just killing a whole city kind of thing by himself. John Wick, all those movies, bad. I'm trying to tell myself, stop watching them, you know. I just love them so much. Anyways. Okay, I need to start closing this thing. So Jesus kind of endures and overcomes these temptations. What's awesome for us here tonight is this, that the Bible says Jesus was tempted in every way, right? But that we would be able to overcome temptation because we wouldn't have temptations more than we could bear, which is amazing. And I think it's because of what Jesus went through for us. I think that Jesus' temptation in the desert was a prequel to his death and resurrection. I think if Jesus didn't do it well in the desert, and if he fell into these temptations, I don't think he would have been able to hang on the cross and was able to be raised again. It was a test, and he passed it. He almost validated himself for the end in the beginning. Does it make sense? He goes, okay, cool. And so we have this triumph. He shows us his willingness to identify himself with God and not take shortcuts, but follow the route that God had given him. He shows us that he knows the scriptures. There's this triumph. There's this, and as this happens, as he says, no, 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 it is written, it is written, it is written, the devil departs from him. It's so cool. And then the angels come and they minister to him. Actually, I think Jesus, if we can go back to the scripture. I don't know which one it is now. Flipping, you're going to have to look. Where he says, Satan, away from me. Just like, I think he actually tells the devil to go away, if I can remember correctly. 10, verse 10, please. It's triumph. It's awesome. And then, so it says there, and then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written. And I think that's quite important for us, guys. Like, when temptation comes, when testing comes, I think there is a point to major, be gone. You see it in Joseph. I read it in my quiet time this last week. Joseph gets sold into slavery. His brothers tell his dad he's dead. I mean, he goes from one thing to the next. He's in Potiphar's house. He has everything. He's like, it's vibing. Potiphar's wife thinks he's good looking. Tries to chase him. And what does he do in that moment? Yeah, it's true. You may read that story, but with a little bit of it, you don't get this. She was trying to flirt with him, for those older people amongst us. And chasing is the same thing as flirting, but it's just a very hip and happening way of saying it. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to be hip. And it's interesting. 20 years ago. Oh, my goodness, showing my age. Thanks, Jody. I thought we were friends. So I will choose not to be tempted to take power and glory over you. No, just kidding. And and it's interesting. He flees. He, I mean, he leaves his cloak in her hand. And I think it's the same thing. It's like when there's temptation and there's sin that's knocking on our door, and when the devil, like a roaring lion, looking for the flesh in us to eat. I think there's this moment where we need to look at it for what it really is. We need to realize the devil's trying to twist something that's good and make it bad, right? And we need to actually say, devil, because the Bible says, and resist the devil and he'll flee from you in James. It's almost like, be gone. I don't want this in my life anymore because of what Christ has done for me. Okay, so as I start ending, what movie have you watched recently that's had a really like anticlimax? Let's throw some names out there. Anticlimax moments. There's nothing to watch anymore. Oh, come on, you guys are helping me. I was trying to rack my brain too. One good anticlimax. Remember the Indiana Jones and the which one is the one with the Lala? What happened to La La Land? What happened in La La Land? Oh yeah. What? Spoiler alert. Wait, before, spoiler alert. If you haven't watched La La Land, it's her fault. Okay. You know, okay, that's pretty. So the whole movie is about a romantic relationship, and then they don't get together at the end. Sucks. Remember Indiana Jones? I think it was like the Raiders of the Lost Ark or the first one or whatever. They're in that marketplace, and the guy pulls out a sword, and it's like for 10 minutes, it's like, and then he pulls out his gun, dead. It's like, dope, you know, it's like an anticlimax. You know, and there's all Vanilla Sky, Tom Cruise, back in the day. I don't know if you ever watched it. Don't watch it. It's the worst movie on the planet. I still don't know what the heck the movie was about. Super anticlimax. The whole movie was an anticlimax, actually. I remember watching it in the cinema in Central City, and some oak stood up at the end and he goes, what the hell was that? You know, I mean, that's what he said. I'm not saying that I said that, but that's, he's like, what is this? You know, and so anticlimax. And so as I end this speech, we're ending on an anticlimax. And you're like, what? Because how did Jesus overcome temptation? It's super anticlimax. I'm telling you now, it's just like, he didn't use any supernatural powers to resist the devil. He wasn't like voices from heaven. There wasn't anything. How did Jesus overcome temptation? The word. Anticlimax. Why do we come to church tonight? It's like, it would be cool. Like there was like this, those 81,000 angels come down and just slaughter the devil into millions of pieces. It didn't happen like that. He's just like, the way Jesus overcame temptation is so simple, guys. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. No, it is written. He overcame temptation by knowing the word and having it in his heart and actually leaning on it. So after everything I've said tonight, anticlimax is this, that if you want to live a life above temptation, that you don't fall into physical appetite, personal gain, or power and glory, it's only done by the word. It's knowing the word. It's loving the word. It's reading the word. It's living by the word. That's it. That's the anticlimax. Sorry, guys. Tithes are going down this month. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding. And because he did that, you know, it's crazy. If you think of Ephesians 6, Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. Breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, belt of truth, feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel. What is that? Helmet of salvation. All of those things are defensive things. There's one weapon mentioned in that Ephesians 6 that's offensive. It's attacking. What is it? The sword of the Spirit. That is the word of God. It's crazy. And so I think we don't take the word of God seriously enough. And yes, there's some weird stuff in there. And there's stuff we can't understand, like dragons and leviathans and teleportation and all these cool things and not so cool things and things. But at the end of the day, it is a living and active. 2 Timothy 3:16, for the word of God is living and active and useful for teaching, training, rebuking, and training up in righteousness, something like that. It's something about like this. We're at your 40th. At your 40th on Kirk. Kirk's 40th on Friday night. And I sent to you that other couple from the morning congregation that was in your comm. The older gentleman. What? Debbie? Roddy. So I was speaking to him, and we've seen each other around, but we don't know each other so well. And we were talking about his family and what's happening. And I think his mom, was it his mom? It was loud music, but I think it was his mom. I think she just died and stuff like that. And she couldn't speak and all that kind of stuff. And she was kind of brain dead. No. I'm getting the story wrong. My bad. It was his dad who was going, Alzheimer's or something like that. And he couldn't remember anything. Like, he couldn't remember who he was, couldn't remember people's names. But the one thing he said was, what he always got right was the Word of God. And I was sitting there, I was going, what? He said, no, honestly, it would make no sense. And then you'll start speaking the Bible, and it would just be perfect. And then I said to him, I said, that is a great picture of the Word of God being living and active, useful in our lives. And so, as I really close now, because I've said that 3 times, and it's really bad preaching, but we are having fun tonight. Could I encourage us, because God's Word in your mouth is your spiritual weapon. If you neglect to use it, you'll be overcome instead of walking in the victory and the blessings that Jesus has provided for you. And so the Word of God has been given to us. And there's a quote from 2 weeks ago. Satan gives Adam a fruit and takes away paradise. Therefore, in all temptations that you face and I face, let's consider not what is offered, but what we will lose. And the way we gain is just the Word of God living through us. I know, super anticlimax, so you didn't come for that. But I'd love to end there. I think I've preached for like 40 minutes, a little bit longer than I was hoping. But have you got it? Like, Jesus did it. And because he did it, we can do it. Because he knew the scriptures, we can know the scriptures. He is our role model. He is the one we look up to. He is the one we're becoming like on a daily basis. And I really want to encourage you. Don't neglect the Word this week. I know sometimes it's dry. Like, even for me, I sit there and I'm like reading. I'm like, God, I'm not getting anything in out of this. It's just like, yeah. And sometimes you have to force yourself to read it. But what I've found in my life through the years, I'll get into a situation, be speaking to someone or meet someone or whatever, and out of the blue, a scripture comes. And you're like, yo, this will really be amazing in this moment. And God helps to remind. And in that moment, he comes and he does something, and people's lives and hearts are open. And so I want to encourage you, if that's you're feeling dry right now, can I ask you to continue to push? Because when we dig wells, I mean, I dug a foundation of that, and that was hard enough, and that was like, it wasn't even that deep. But digging wells can get really tiring, really horrible. But once you hit water, it's life-giving, right? And in a sense, the Word of God is water for us. It's going to give us life. Blessed is the man who does not, what's it? Walk in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this he meditates day and night. And it says he'll be like a tree planted by streams of living water, and whatever he does withers, in season, out of season. And that's just the power of the Word in someone's life. And so I'd love to pray with us. I'd love to do some ministry. I don't know how we'll end. We'll just wait on the Lord. But if something of Jesus has touched you tonight, could you respond to him? Not to me, please. Like, that would be the worst thing you could ever do. But if you want prayer tonight, if you want just someone to encourage, if you're feeling right now, yeah, already I'm looking around, feeling the Spirit on me, I want to just go encourage someone with the Word. Can we just spend a few moments tonight just praying, trusting, allowing God to do what he wants? That's why I didn't want worship. I didn't want music tonight. Because sometimes that can create like this false, harpy thing. And I just thought, let's just do it. Like, just take all of man out of tonight. You know, like all of man. Like, there's no chance that we can manufacture anything. And just wait on the Lord and see what he does. Can we do that together? Awesome. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Love you, Father. Love what you're doing amongst us, Lord. Thank you just for us being here tonight, Lord. That we are trusting that your Spirit is with us. Thank you for your Word, Lord. that is our sword. It is the thing we live by. Just pray right now, Lord Jesus, that you'll just give us a hunger and a thirst for your word, for who you are. Lord, that you'll come and just pour a passion upon us, Lord. For those that are dry, those that are feeling it's so hard to read, Lord, that you'll just do a work in us tonight. Lord, that we'll feel like unsettled if we haven't spent time reading your word on a daily basis, Father God. Lord, because we desire not to fall into temptation, Lord. We desire not to be duped by the evil one who tries to take what is good and twist it slightly, and we fall into those traps, Lord. We really want to be sons and daughters that can stand firm when the day comes. Lord, I pray that you'll encourage those amongst us tonight, Lord, that are battling, Lord, that are in the desert place. Lord, I pray that you'll come, and even as your son was tempted in every way and then kicked the devil out of the way and the angels came to minister to them, Lord, I pray right now, like even just your angels will come and minister to those that need to be ministered to. Just come fill us up again, Lord, as your word says, that there'll be times of refreshing, times of strength. Love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Worship you, Father. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Maybe just where you are, just as you quieten your heart before the Lord, could I encourage you just to speak to him tonight? Just start talking to him. You might battle with prayer as well, but just, God, here I am. I don't want to take a shortcut. Ask him to reveal what's in your heart. Ask him to show where you're doing well in him, where maybe the devil's coming and trying to steal from you. Just have a few moments just with you and the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worship you, Father. King of kings, Lord of lords. Amazing Father. So feeling the Lord's highlighting a person or people to me tonight. For those that are visiting, one of the gifts that God has given me is words of knowledge. Just get an inkling, a picture, and it's just sometimes just a way to connect. I'm just feeling like there's someone here that's really doubting the Lord. I almost felt like Thomas. He wasn't in the room when Jesus came, and he said, "No, I won't believe until I see the holes in his hands and the spear mark in his side." And then the next day kind of thing, Jesus comes and he reveals himself to Thomas. And he says, "Thomas, now that you've seen, how much more will those who haven't seen and believe be filled with faith?" I really felt like there's someone or people here tonight that you're really struggling with doubt. Like you're really struggling. It's not just a thing. It's really been eating you up. And I really just felt like God's grace in this moment for you. So I don't know if there is anyone, while your eyes are closed and stuff, is there anyone that's feeling like that? It's not an embarrassing thing. Thank you, sir. Amazing. Anyone else? Wonderful. Anyone else? Can I just say, like, Again, it's that hard thing of Jesus doesn't have to prove himself to you. But he does want to give you a faith that he is real. And I just want to pray for you guys. Is anyone else? Just anyone else? I'd love to just minister with you and just pray for you guys. Maybe I can ask some of the leaders to just get around you as well. That might be cool. So, Moneki and some of the guys. Gentlemen in the gray top and Matthew. Be great. Maybe Steve, if you can pull in Mike, maybe if you could just come around along with these guys. Let's just pray and just trust God does some cool stuff, you know. Just come. Amazing, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Father, as we pray, Victor, yeah, jump in there. Awesome. Let's just pray for these two gentlemen, Lord. Lord, we just pray that your spirit will just impact them, fall on them, just like so powerfully in this moment. Lord, that maybe just as Thomas was doubting, Lord, and he lacked that faith, that right now in this moment, Lord, I believe faith is a gift given by you, Lord, that you'll just give them faith, deposit faith in their hearts, Lord, as we pray and lay hands and encourage and speak, Lord, that you'll do a deep work of a knowledge that you are the Son of God, that you are real, that even though we can't see you, you are active in our lives through your word, through your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, God. Yeah, I just pray, and if you guys have got words of knowledge for them, or just words of encouragement, scriptures, go for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Another feeling while they're praying, I just felt like there's some amongst us here this evening that are, you have an anger towards the Lord for a reason. There's something that happened in you, and you're blaming the Lord for it. You've got this deep anger against him. And like when guys throw out the word father or helper or provider, that thing just gets you, your blood going a little bit, you know, like it's pushing you away from what God wants. I don't know, I just felt like there's grace for you here this evening as well, like God wants to bring a peace there where there's anger or a love there where there's anger. So I don't know if there's anyone feeling like that. I'd love to pray for you as well. I know that's a little bit more out there. I really just felt like God wants to highlight someone. I thought it was on this side as well. Anyways, anyone? No? Lord, if they're just embarrassed to respond, God, that, he'll just take that anger and fill them with peace. Take that anger and fill it with love. That there be just something of your grace and your love and your mercy upon them right now in this moment, Lord. Where they feel they might not even be able to trust you, Lord, because of that anger, Lord, that you'll just disarm them with your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The prophetic guys amongst us, if you guys are feeling anything, you can help me if you want. If you've got any words and stuff. Just a few more moments. Just look at some time. Just come, Glenno. Let's go for it.
I was just reading in Ephesians 9, it talks about our fight is not against the flesh, it's against the devil. And I think even in that, the devil has deceived us in that we had temptation and we want to run away from the temptation, which is what we need to do. But we actually need to remember it's the devil behind it that we actually need to be running away from, running to the word. And because we're going to get caught up in temptation, we're going to face temptation regularly. And if we're constantly trying to just run away from that, it's great. But we can hit it everywhere. But if we realize that we're running from the devil behind that temptation and we win that victory by running to the word, then those temptations that come, we can much easily overcome them.
So as Brett was sharing earlier, I was just so reminded that sometimes we go, I'm doing okay. I'm sure I'm not a target. I'm sure the devil doesn't have it in for me. And when Brett was sharing about the devil coming like a roaring lion, he's not coming to devour the one that is all evil, the one that is all bad. He comes to find that bit of flesh, that bit that you haven't surrendered yet, that bit that you're holding on to. And he comes after that.
So let me ask you a question, because I've been doing all the talking. Maybe you guys can help me as well. So what do you think are some of those flesh moments that the devil can nibble on in your life, in our lives? Not your life specifically, but what are some of those things? Comparison? So comparing one to another, or that's a very good comparison. What else? Pride, big one. Gossip. Sorry? Speaking truly from a young man. That's awesome. Laziness. It's good. I love you, man. That kid has got a good mind on him. I'm not going to lie to you. One of my favorites. Laziness. Anyone else? What else? Flesh. Yes, sir. Fear. What else? Insecurities. Control. What else? Oh, that's a good one. Complacency. I think that's the biggest hurdle we face coming out of COVID. We've all become complacent to a certain degree in some areas. It's good. The devil's nibbling on that thing. It's good. These are good stuff. This is good stuff. Sorry? Comfort. Oof. Now he's... comfort. Too soon. You should have waited to the end. Comfort. Sorry? Time. Oh, that's it. Oh, now we're really getting in the nitty. You think, how's time? A flesh thing, it is. It's like, I don't have time for you, Lord. I don't have time for your word. But we do. We got time for series and movies and sporting activities and getting dressed nicely. You know how long it takes to get this beard? No, I'm really kidding. So time is a good one. Comfort is a very good one. Selfishness. Oh. Now, I'm starting to feel the spirit now. Like, you can feel like, oh. Sorry? Deception. Oh. Amazing. So these, sorry? Self-glory. So these are all the things that are so, that can creep in so easily. The cool thing about what we're doing now is we're actually naming and shaming them. Like, we're like, we know what it is now. Yeah. We know the patterns. We know how the devil works. And we can go, no more. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities in the heavenly realms. And I want to end with this, maybe. Because you've been listening to me for a long time, and I feel sorry for you guys. But, you know, Ephesians 3:10, where it says, the manifold wisdom of God is being made known to the principalities in the heavenly ones. And I love that scripture. I know I quote it a lot, but it's for those that are visiting. That what that means, the manifold wisdom of God is this. It's in the Greek, it gives you a sense of a tapestry or painting where there's different colors and brush strokes and textures, and when that comes together, it makes a beautiful picture. And when it comes to the church, you and I, we're different. We shouldn't be friends. We got different backgrounds, different upbringings. We at different places in our relationship with the Lord. But as we come together and we become his body, all the different brushstrokes and the different colors that we are come together. And that's the manifold wisdom of God, that every one of us has to be part of this body so that we can be a complete bride for when Jesus comes back one day. And that is the manifold wisdom of God. And that is saying to the heavenly realm. So it's saying to the angels and the demons, what it's saying is Jesus' work on the cross is actually finished and it's done and it's working, because we shouldn't be unified. We shouldn't have one heart, one mind, one soul. We shouldn't be living for Christ like we are, but Christ. That's so cool, hey? And so as we go into this week, can I encourage you, just stand firm, not on your own ability, but on the word. Allow the Spirit to lead you. Don't fall into comparison and all these things. Don't fall into condemnation. Please don't go home today going, you cannot do this life without Jesus. I'm just saying it out. But there's grace. And let's just clap it, man. Let's just take this week and just go, Jesus, this is yours. And then take next week, or even just take day by day, tomorrow. Tomorrow's yours, Lord. I'm going to live for you because what have you done for me? And just live it. Awesome. Love you guys. Let's end there. We'll put on house music. If you guys want prayer for anything, I felt someone needed some prayer for a back injury or something. If you want that, you can come. We'll pray for you. Please, it'll be really early today. We're like half an hour early. Welcome to have some coffee, chill out. Find someone that you don't know. Maybe pray for them, encourage them. Love you guys, and we'll see you next week. Awesome. Boom. House music, young man. Thank you.